thank you for listening to this sermon from Goodwill Church, located in New York's Hudson Valley. Goodwill Church is on a mission to be a hub of revival in the Northeast and beyond. For more information about our church, please visit goodwillchurch.org. Now, here's the sermon.
Today's reading comes from Psalm 46. It's on page 557 in the church Bibles. It's prophetic and profound. Right, Pastor? Okay. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolation on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He turns the chariots, burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Would you pray with me? Lord God Almighty, even though the earth will melt away, we will not be afraid. We are confident in your steadfast love. If we were not able to see you as our Father, then we would tremble at your dominion, at your power and your might. Even so, we humble ourselves before you, the only God, the awesome God, the God who is there forever. Thank you for allowing us unrestricted access to you by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to not take that access for granted. We are your children, and we will love you forever. We ask that you open our spiritual hearts by the hearing of your word, preached by our pastor. May the fullness of your spirit breathe through our pastor's words. We pray in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Near our home, probably about just under a year ago, the county or the town decided that there was a road that needed a stop sign. And And it's a stop sign because of the increase in traffic. Right? And stop signs are peculiar, right? Because you and I, if we have a driver's license and we have been given the opportunity to receive a license because we passed the written test and then the actual driving test, right? It's, we showed a capacity to understand what that sign means, right? It means to stop, right? And for some reason, right, after we get our license, for some of us, depending if we're busy or if we're distracted, right, sometimes a stop sign does not mean stop, right? Sometimes a stop sign means slow down and gradually roll through it. Sometimes we blow through it as if it's not even existing, right? And then we get surprised, right, when sometimes we're stopped by a police officer, right? And then that particular police officer chooses to give us an invitation to a courtroom. where we need to take care of the violation, right? And because stop is stop, right? And but then there's another odd sign, right? And it's the yield sign, right? Let's see. Let me go back, right? Now, this one isn't so clear, right? This one, for some reason, means slow down or speed up, right? You know, and we also have one of these traffic circles now, right? That as you're entering or exiting, there's this yield sign. And no matter whether I'm going in or coming out, I get it wrong all the time. Right. It's, do I stop? Do I not stop? Do I slow down? Do I speed up? And who has the right of way? Right. And the reason why I bring these two things up, right, because there's a verse we're going to be looking at today, a verse that we all pretty much know, that when we hear it, right, it's, we can interpret it as if it's telling us to slow down, right? To yield. And in reality, I don't think it's telling us to slow down, right? It's, and this is verse 10 of Psalm 46. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Right? You ask yourself, when you read that, right? How do you interpret that? Do you hear stop? Or do you hear yield? Slow down. You know, measure your pace as you move forward. And to my surprise, right, if you and I were to read the Jewish Bible, right, of the Old Testament, which they call the Tanakh, right, when they translate the Hebrew words into English, right, here's what you and I would have: desist. Realize I'm God. I dominate the nations. I dominate the earth, right? It feels different, right? You can hear stop, right? And ask yourself, what would God be telling you and me to stop from, right? What is he wanting us to desist from. Right? As you and I live our lives out. And one of the things that we've been trying to do as we're going through the Psalms throughout this past year is some of the Psalms are in response to certain historical events. Sometimes we have good clarity in reference to why these Psalms were written, and sometimes it's not so clear, right? So there's two possible references to this Psalm being written. The first is when King Jehoshaphat was king, right? And that's when he was facing an oncoming army, right? And the army was made up of Amron and Moab, and they were behind the temple wall. And in 2 Chronicles 20, you would read that as the evening came, God disorientated the soldiers, and they started fighting against each other. And eventually, by the morning, they all slaughtered each other. Right? And even though that can apply, right, I like the second reference. And the second reference is when the Assyrian king was moving south and attacking everything in its path. And this is when King Hezekiah was king. So when you look at time period, it's about 701 BC, right? And hear these words from God's word. So King Hezekiah, when he got installed as king, he took down all the places of worship and he reestablished temple worship. And he encouraged the people to come back to the temple, to come back to God, right? And in 2 Kings 18, verses 3 and then verses 5 and 7 says this, "And he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord according to all that David, his father, has done. He trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel, so that there was none like him among the kings of Judah after him, nor among those who were before him. For he had fasted to the Lord. He did not depart from the following, but kept the commandments that the Lord commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him whenever he went out and whenever he went in." Right? So God was with him because Hezekiah turned back to God. Now, the Assyrian king, he was conquering everything, and his sights actually were on Egypt. And he stopped in this little fortified city called Lachish, right? And that is southwest of Judah, of Jerusalem, right? And as he set up camp there, he sent a messenger up to Hezekiah, right, his servant, with a letter from the king of the Assyrians. And it says in 2 Kings 18, verses 29 through 31, "Thus says the king, do not let Hezekiah deceive you, for he will not be able to deliver you from my hands. Do not let Hezekiah make you trust the Lord by saying, 'The Lord will surely deliver us, and this city will not be given into the hands of the king of the Assyrians.' Do not listen to Hezekiah. For thus says the king of Assyria, make peace and come out. Each one of you will eat of his own vines and its own fig trees. Each one of you will drink water from his own cisterns." Right? And here's the thing about that particular message, right? The message was communicated in their native tongue, right? So it wasn't through the interpretation, and the part was to cause fear in the people. But then Isaiah the prophet, you remember him, right? It's He's in 2 Kings 19, verses 6 and 7. Isaiah said to them, "Say to your master, thus says the Lord, do not be afraid because of the words you have heard with which your servant of the king of Assyria has reviled me. Behold, I will put a spirit in him so that he shall hear rumors and return to his own homeland, and I will make him fall by the sword in his own land." So then King Hezekiah, hearing his plight, he would grab the message from the king of Assyria and spread it out on the temple floor, and he would pray to God. "So now, O Lord our God, save us, please, from the hands that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the Lord our God." Right? And then the end of the story in 2 Kings 19, verses 35 through 36, all of a sudden, God shows up. And that night, the angel of the Lord went out and struck down 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians. And when the people arose early in the morning, behold, these were all the dead bodies. And Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, departed and went home and lived in Nineveh for 2 days until he died. Right? Like I said, I like that story. Right? Because you can feel it. Right? You can feel the pressure and the tension. And here's the thing, right? Sometimes your life and my life, based on the things that you and I go through, we go through that kind of tension and pressure. Is God going to show up? Where are you? And meanwhile, as we seek him, he tells us something that you and I might not want to hear. Stop. Stop. Stop and watch me, right? You know that sometimes your problem and my problem, when we focus on our problem then becomes a problem with God because we are showing that we don't trust him. And this psalm is to encourage you and I to have this proper perspective as we look to him. Right, so let us give our attention to the choir master of the sons of Korah, according to Alamoth, a song. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. For God to be your refuge and my refuge, we need to ask ourselves, well, what is a refuge? Right? When there was trouble back in the Middle East during this time, everybody from the outskirts of Jerusalem would charge and go into the city walls because they believed the walls would protect them. But for God to be a refuge is to know that that refuge is a safe place to be in. Not only is it a safe place to be in, but it's also a secure place to be in. Not only is it a safe and secure place to be in, it is a stable place to be in. Not only is it safe and strong and stable, but it is a shelter to be in. This is what God provides when you turn to him and not to anything else. And then as a result of you seeking God, he is able to help you when there is trouble, when trouble comes your way. Sometimes when you translate the Hebrew word trouble, it translate to tight places. Have you ever found yourself in a tight place? Right? You can't move one way or another. But God, Elohim, is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. This is one of the Psalms that the great Martin Luther would hold on to, right? Because not only was he transformed by what Romans had to teach him, but he also loved the Psalms, especially during that time of the early Reformation where he didn't know, right, if he was going to be attacked or not attacked, right? Through many different stories, right? We would hear of him and his friend Philip, right? And he would cry out to Philip when times were tough. Come on, Philip, let's sing the 46th Psalm and let the devil do his best, right? Can you imagine, right? That sense of just holding on. And it's from these words is where you and I get that great hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, right? That we sing. Right, but imagine having that kind of fortitude. Let us sing. Let us sing and let the devil do his best, right? Therefore, right, as a result of God being my refuge, being my strength in a present time of trouble, therefore, we will not fear. Right? God's got it. Though the earth give way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though the waters roam and foam, though the mountains tremble at his swelling, Selah. Right? And we know that Selah is this musical phrase that says pause, meditate on what was just said. Right? And here's how some take these verses, that what God put in order in Genesis is now being dismantled, right? And we know, based on Scripture, that in the beginning there was chaos, and then God created and eliminated the chaos. So also in the psalmist is saying, if there was chaos in your life, imagine if there was earthquakes. Imagine if half the United States was underwater. There was no place to run, no place to go. Right? It's like I say every once in a while, right? Like when trouble comes, bring it on. Instead of hiding and being fearful, what am I going to do? What's going to happen? Right? Bring it on. Let what happened happen, because I'm holding on to God. But here's the other picture. Right, and not many commentators make this connection. And I'm not saying that I'm smarter than them, but here's the picture that God gave me as I was preparing this message. It's that when you have an army approaching by foot, right, and you have everything they need in order to survive, right, that the marching of the army sounds like the rumbling of an earthquake, right? So imagine, right, the entire city of Jerusalem being surrounded by this army, right, and everything that stood in their way has been defeated. Their relatives from the northern country fell many years earlier. And here was the taunt that that servant of the king of Assyria was really saying. As we march through the countryside, every god that we came against fell. So do you really think your god is going to be there for you? Right? That was the undertone of what was being conveyed. Right? And do you think he's going to show up for you? Really? There's a river whose stream makes glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. Right, and if you've ever been to Israel, right, one of the things that we get to do every once in a while, depending on where the water levels are, right, it's you, as you're on the outskirts of the wall and you're heading towards the Pool of Siloam, right, halfway through, there's this little gated area, right, and when you go in there, right, that is the hewn pipeline that King Hezekiah ordered just before the invasion of the Assyrians, right? And it's still there today, feeding into Jerusalem, right? Because one of the things that most individuals knew back then is that if we are surrounded, the one thing we need to keep ourselves alive is water. Right, and it's amazing that you go there and you see, right, that pipeline that feeds the city of Jerusalem today, right, and you wonder, right, like, well, what is it about water that brings hope and life, right, and I know when we think of water, we think of sometimes what it says in Genesis, right? That there's a stream that flows through, right? Sometimes we think of what Jesus said to the Samaritan woman, right? As he met her there at the well. Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I give will never thirst again," right? There's something about water that brings life, but more so the water that Jesus gives. And here, right, it's to know that God is in the midst of you, in this holy habitation. She shall not be moved, right? So you have to ask yourself, who's the she in this phrase, right? I believe it's Jerusalem itself, right? She will not be moved. And here's the picture, right? She will not be moved until God moves her. Right? Because we know, based on history, eventually the temple was destroyed. Right? God will help her when morning dawns, right? There's something about the morning where all of a sudden that sun starts to break through and it gives you a sense of clarity. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, and the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress, Selah. Right? Nations are always raging against God, even today. Kingdoms are built up, kingdoms fall. Right? And And all of a sudden he speaks a word and it looks like it melts, right? The Lord of hosts, the God of the angels, Sabaoth, is how you say it in Hebrew. He's with us, right? And here's the question, right? Is he with you? Is he with you? The God of Jacob, and you can find comfort in that, right? Because Jacob was not the most upright guy, right? He was a conniver, right? Maybe you feel like you're a conniver every once in a while trying to get what you want, right? And you might say to yourself, oh, I'm not like that, right? It's like, ask yourself, if you're trying to get a deal from a medical provider, right? Would you be a conniver a little bit? Right? Because they don't deserve to get all of that, right? Sometimes it's how we perceive, you know, how much somebody should cover, right, for one expense or another, right? It's we look, right, for the best deal, right? And scripture says, stop working so hard, right? The Lord of hosts, the one who is in charge of the angels, God's army, right? He is with us. Is he with you? Is he your fortress? Come! Behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolation on the earth. And he makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Right? And throughout biblical history, we see God doing that. We see him doing it with the Egyptians. Right? We see him doing it at the walls of Jericho, right? It's recently there's been a ceasefire that seems to be broken, right? And you have to ask yourself the question, did they see God, right? Or is this their efforts, right? It's, yes, we want wars to cease, right? But sometimes our efforts only go so far. Be still and know that I am God. Right? Be still. Stop. Desist. Right? Know who I am. Right? Ask yourself, in the struggles, in the pain that you might find yourself, right? Do you find yourself fidgeting? Do you find yourself overworking the problem, whatever the problem might be? Do you find yourself focused so much on the problem that it's hard to even lift your eyes up to God and go, Lord, I know you got this. Scripture says, I will be exalted, right? Either we're going to be part of it or we're not going to be part of it. He is our refuge. Notice that when it says he is our refuge, there's not a time limit on it. There's not an expiration on that. Not only was he faithful then, he's faithful now, he's going to be faithful in the future, he's God. I will be exalted in the earth, right? There's going to come a time where everybody, every knee will bow and exalt the Lord Almighty. And you're not going to have an option, right? There's not going to be like, well, can I take a couple minutes to think this over? And then we're reminded again of what was already said, the Lord of hosts is with us. He's with you, he's with me. He's with us. There's a story from Wesley. When he was near the end of his life, John Wesley, right? They said that he lost his voice. He couldn't hardly speak. And then near the end of his life, right, he mustered up his strength and he said, the best part is that God is with us. And then he raised his one hand. He said, the best part is that God is with us. And then a little time passed and he passed away. He's with us. Is he with you? Right? Is he with you when he's calling you to stop? And you think what he's really saying is, no, yield. Step on it. Move forward. The God of Jacob is our fortress, Selah. He is the one who is the Lord of hosts, right? Ask yourself, is there any other that you would want? Is there any other than God himself? And here's the thing, right? And for you and for me, he is found in Jesus Christ as our God, as the one who says, follow me. And here's why it's important to follow Jesus Christ. Early on in the Gospel of Mark, as Jesus was teaching his disciples, I believe is in chapter 4, right? He says to them, and it's important to listen to God's word, right? He says, when you see the desolation, the abomination of desolation standing where it should not be, you should run for the hills. He says, don't run to Jerusalem. He says, run away. Right? Because the purpose of the temple is no longer the primary focus of God. Because we know that in Christ, as he is our temple, each and every one of us are a temple. And the question is God with you? Is he in you as you are in him? Are you seeking him? Are you worshiping him? Right? And we're reminded of these words, right, from our Jewish brothers and sisters. Desist. Right? He's telling you to stop. Realize that I am God. Realize that. Know that. Right? I dominate nations. Right? It doesn't say I negotiate with them. Right? It doesn't say, let's come to the table and figure it out. Right? No, I dominate them. I dominate the earth. Because that's who God is. He is one that is worthy to be worshiped. And here's the thing, right? Whether it's the story of the Assyrians attacking Judah, or if it's those that are in the neighboring vicinity that were attacking Jehoshaphat, that same God is the same God that we worship today. Right? And you have to ask yourself, when you find yourself in trouble, What do you do? And my hope and prayer is that when you find yourself in trouble, you stop and you seek him. And as you seek him, you will find him. And as you find him, you would also discover that he is your refuge, that he is a place of safety, that he is your stronghold, that he is the place of stability, that he is your shelter, that he is your God. This is the best thing that you and I can have. And as Luther would say, Philip, let us sing the 46th Psalm and let the devil do his best. Right? To have that kind of courage, because we know God is with us. Amen? Let us pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for loving us the way you do. And Lord, I just pray. I pray for each one of my brothers and sisters, and Lord, wherever they find themselves today, I pray that their struggles would lead them back to you, to our shelter, to our God, to our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you. We pray all of this in Jesus' name, and all of God's children said, would you rise as we worship our God?
Thank you again for listening to today's sermon. For more resources and information about Goodwill Church, visit goodwillchurch.org. God bless.